Hey, everybody. We're recording on 4-motherfucking-20, and Justin is a bud tender. So, everyone, thank him. Give him a break.
You know what? I'm not even just a bud tender anymore. I manage a whole fucking store, and it is, like, so much more than just bud tending. And
he lives in Seattle, Washington, and it's 4-fucking-20. So the fact that he's on the air at 8:12 midnight Pacific time is nothing short of
amazing.
Means
I got some good fellas helping run the shop right now. I actually do, man. That's one of the things. I love my crew. They're all really great. They're the kids between like Connor's age and like Zoe's age.
Welcome to our Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for your journey through all things Wheel of Time. All things Bale Doman affiliated. Yeah, dude. Did you know that before I sent that to you?
No.
Oh.
No. I was doing my voice exercise when you sent it. Randy Wrestles Randy Rappers. I was trying to get my voice ready, you know what I'm saying? Oh, wow.
First of all, I want to thank WoteSeries.com and WoteUp. I'm just going to tell you right now, everything I'm talking about, I didn't find any of it myself. WoteUp and WoteSeries.com have been my warders for this podcast.
They're really good, man. I've seen a lot of stuff there. That's the thing I sent you with the location pictures, which I still haven't even watched.
Ooh.
I'm gonna do that right now. So, that guy's pretty cool. He's definitely kind of Watt nerdy like us, and he's always got like good inside scoops on stuff. I think they're involved with the recuts of stuff too.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know. I know the Dusty Wheel did a recut of the Winter Dragon, but I think Watt Up, or there's a Watt Up fan edit project, and I think they are doing a season one recut, and I don't know if they're doing it like 10 minutes at a time, or like some, I heard something about they're doing it into like a feature length film for per season, which I think is super dope. Like they're re-editing it and cutting it. Like they're not adding anything obviously because they can't, but I think they're just moving stuff around and shit like that.
That'll be, is it a crew at WoteUp or is it just that
dude? I don't know,
dude.
Man. Honestly, I've been wanting to I know the one guy, Niblis, I watched him for a long time. He's done like book breakdowns and stuff. And he was so excited. He's like, hey, Amazon, you know how to sign this like a non-disclosure agreement or whatever for Amazon because we want to like, and he's like, I thought I was going to get like some screenshots or maybe some early trailers. And they're like, no, can you come to the premiere in London?
Oh.
And he was just like, no, I'm doing laundry. Yeah, I'm fucking going. What?
Jesus.
Hell yeah. He's pretty funny, dude. He's a bald cat. He always ends up wearing like wigs and shit. Or he's got like a pair of like loyal ears.
Oh, you decide whether or not we make the papers. I'm going to be at that fucking premiere.
Yeah, exactly. This guy's got the right idea. He wore the white pants.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't think I even told you, like, I didn't catch your brown pants joke until I was editing 2 weeks. Like this is like months ago, but you made a brown pants joke and I was editing and I laughed because that's, Will, my teenager, everybody, that's his favorite joke.
In Deadpool?
Oh, I didn't even know it was in Deadpool.
That's a Deadpool joke, bro.
He's been telling that joke for years.
So the reason why Deadpool wears a red suit is so bad guys can't see me bleed.
That's right.
This guy's got the right idea. He wore the brown pants like he's going to shit himself.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not originally from Deadpool, but I don't know. That's man, I love Ryan Reynolds. So
right.
Much.
I was going to say, yeah, we were watching, Kelly's been loving bloopers lately and she ran across some, break with him and, God damn it. Bateman. No. The one with him and where him and Bateman switch places.
Oh, the change up. Yeah, that's a good one. I love that movie.
The change. So I always forget that those two are in a movie together. Like I need to watch that movie again too. Just so yeah, those two blooping it up was pretty good.
Okay. How are we going to watch these clips? Should we open a window? Should we watch it on my phone?
I think you should open a window and share your screen.
Okay. How do I do that?
I got it. I'm not going to do it because you're going to want control of it because you're going to be stopping it all the time.
No, I won't. I will say pause and then we'll start talking.
There we go. I got it.
Got it.
Okay, everybody. So we're watching a What Up video entitled Wheel of Time Season 2 Leaked Set Pictures. This was released April 12th. And I might skip ahead a little bit once it gets going because he's got kind of a long intro.
Yeah, feel free to skip his talking. I just want to see the pictures. I don't really care about what he says. I want to have our own opinion. Not to be rude. Just I want to.
We know that the Wheel of Time is filming in Soria, Morocco between the 11th of April to the 30th of April. Now, what's really neat about this is that Soria is sort of an old port town. And in the Soria, there's something called the Escuela Medina, which is a historic fort. Now, this is right on the water. They have walkways and they have big parts of a castle and fortress.
Got to be the Stone of Tyr.
What's on the far left there with the windows, that's all existing fortress. The wall, the turret, the other stuff there, that's what they built. And I think they did a fairly good job.
I know exactly what that's for. We'll talk about it.
This sign was there on set, and it had been there basically warning the public that they're going to be filming between the 11th of April to the 30th and kind of telling them to stay away because, just as a reminder, this is an open air spot. This is a tourist attraction.
Ooh, is that going to be second season? I guess they're not done with it, right? I wonder if it might be third season.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. That is so much building.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Everyone, it's crazy looking at this. Like you look at what is just like a plain walkway just above the water, and they built another level to it.
Yeah, it looks like a pier or like a boardwalk or something, and then they built a whole like courtyard that's enclosed. It's nuts. So I gotta think that seeing as how this is on the ocean, it's not exactly what I imagined if it is, but the Stone of Tyr is supposed to be this impregnable fortress right on the water.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's got an area. I mean, obviously the whole thing's not impregnable, but it's got the main part is kind of this just big kind of half dome looking thing. So I'm wondering if they're going to build that and then kind of CGI the half dome in the background because it's supposed to be like, you know, totally immense. And I think you get a background shot of the top of it. Ooh, maybe that's not here. Maybe that's going to be like Falm. Like, because see, that's the thing that I'm kind of wondering about is that, you know, Rand kind of takes off on his own, which he does that, but later. So there's some hunting of the horn and some separation. And then they join back up. And then Matt splits off and goes to the tower. And then Rand splits off and starts heading towards the Stone of Tyr to try to get Kalendor. So I'm wondering, it's like, are they trying to maybe knock out some filming that, you know, like maybe some stuff might not come in until season three, like some flashback, like this happened then. So, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, because there are some, you know, times when, you know, like that would be beneficial to the storytelling instead of doing like straight through like the book, you know. But it's like, you know, Rand has his moments with Elaine there after he's like had his moments with Min. And he's a little fucking player for being insane, for being a busy cat. But like, it kind of goes to the notion that it's all about the love, you know, all along. And it's about caring about people. And, you know, he has like a political marriage, a love marriage, and then like a kind of second pseudo political marriage, which he cares about all of them immensely. But it's like, you know, there are political reasons why he kind of they're not marriages, but, you know, why, you know, he cares about them all, but they're also beneficial. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. And it's kind of hard to explain until you get, and he's like,
yeah, no, that makes perfect sense
without making him seem like a lecherous fuck. Cause that's one of the things he's like, I feel bad.
Sorry. I lost one of the videos that I watched today while I was in the waiting room for Kelly. There was another, I guess we'll watch this one and see. This is, I think, a third leaked set picture video.
I want to stress these are taken by locals, so they're absolutely fine to share. You can find stuff like this pretty much anywhere. But these people, I managed to reach out to them, and they sent me a bunch of them, which is pretty neat.
What's the date on this video?
March 26th.
Obviously, we're not getting a release. If this truly is season two and they don't already have it wrapped and they're actually working on season three, and they're just, which I doubt, because it's kind of hard to hide that these days.
Well, they could still have like, they could have 1 through 4 in post-production and still be finishing some filming on 5 through 8.
That's true.
Now, this here is an actual Instagram post. It's a little bit closer up. And this was shared by someone in the Wheel of Time community. I won't name them.
I don't know what else that could be besides the Aiel waste.
Oh, yeah.
makes sense for budgeting because they could film Aiel Way stuff in Morocco, but they also have the ocean and they could knock out some tear stuff too with some creative CGI in the background.
And I think you're right, because there's no, like, these are huge sets in places where they're probably not going to be able to leave them up for 5 years.
No,
so they're going to have to get all their filming done.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like we might see some things of this, like, depending on how far they progress this, the show in season two. You know, this could be, you know, some season three stuff too, you know, first two episodes of season three, even if it's only 20 minutes of it, you know, because I really feel like once they start to split up a little bit, they're going to change those POVs a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to really get like those. And I kind of sometimes that shit bugs me. Like I told you, like Walking Dead, you know, why do I have three standalone episodes on the governor before he was cool or, you know, not cool, but interesting. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't care that he cried over some people that died one time. It's like, yeah, everybody did. It's a fucking apocalypse.
In the middle of it appears to be a white tree. Now, the white tree sort of looks like it has three big roots in the bottom that could also look like three lightning bolts.
That's where Fallen is. That's where I expect them to go season two.
The Shan Chen are there. They're probably filming the very end scenes of book two, The Great Hunt, as part of their filming in Orzazate.
Because that's what I, because what that clip you, the clip that's coming out in 2 days that we recorded last week, it was, you know, they were talking about kind of, I kind of pictured that area we just saw and all the ships receding while Lanfear wanders in and Mia and Lan.
Oh yeah, Min, when Rand is injured. Yeah, that's right after the battle that he references to Ishmael in the sky.
I got one more, and this one is super cool because it's got actual action. You can see him rehearsing a battle.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to get this just right because it's right as soon as I looked it up on my phone and it's like the second video and on I can't find it anywhere on here.
Yeah, like I said, that what you're talking about is exactly the clip right after, that was right after he fought Ishmael in the sky, and that's on Almuth Plain and Falm, and that's what he's talking about, which that could be, I didn't really picture that. I didn't think about that. That actually makes more sense than the Stone of Tyr. But I was thinking that they probably got the things they're building so much set is because in breaking into the Stone of Tyr, Matt comes across someone named Aludra, and she's an illuminator. I wonder, they make fireworks.
Ooh.
And she also ends up developing, basically cannons don't exist.
Right now.
And she ends up developing, they call them dragons, but they're basically cannons. And she develops them, but she gives him a bunch of like M80 type things, dynamite basically, and he blows a hole in the side of the stone of the impregnable Stone of Tyr and breaks in.
Yeah. Any junior hire knows the damage an M80 can do. All right, I'm gonna press play on this one. I've watched this one already, so I'm gonna miss a few seconds while I pee, but I'll be back.
That's fine. I'm gonna take a dab. Because it's 420. Oh, this is like a fight. They're fighting.
Action.
They're dying.
Really very neat. It's kind of cool to see some of the stunt crew there practicing and performing what they're going to be doing on screen. No idea how it's exactly going to look.
That would be Perrin. If it's a hammer, it's Perrin. I don't see it. Yeah, if there's no spears or hide bucklers, there's no Aiel. Yeah, this has got to be Falm because it's like a three-part battle. The Shan Chan are there fighting the White Cloaks. And then Rand shows up and like Perrin and Rand or Perrin and Matt. And I think it's just Perrin and Matt and like a couple other people. They're all, maybe the Shannarians are about to get caught in between the two armies. And then Matt blows the horn to save them. So this has to be Falm. Oh, God, I'm so jacked up to see this.
Isn't this amazing? So here's the one we saw at first, like off to the left. That's where the turret is.
Oh, shit.
And then they built a bazaar down below.
Again, really great shot of that shield with the sunburst on it. So I'm guessing that that particular stunt person is a White Cloak.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is far to the left there, you see a person in a gray shirt holding up what looks to be a buckler. And that looks an awful lot like an Aiel buckler.
So would that be Great Hunt shit? Or that feels more like,
well,
book three stuff.
I got an idea. I'm going to wait till he's done talking. Okay. So dude to the left with what he's talking about is the buckler. And they said something about someone dual wielding. So my guess, if in the books in this, there's a lot to fucking unpack here. Definitely White Cloaks. I think he's dead on right there for sure. But there, if I remember correctly, there were no Aiel in Falm, but they are all around. They kind of just start popping up everywhere because they're looking for Rand. So I'm thinking that if they have Perrin save Gaul, the clip where he saves the Aielman in the cage.
Yes. Yes.
Perrin and Gaul, besties, homies, real tight buddies. So if they start becoming real tight homies before and like earlier, like if he gets out of the cage and then stays with Perrin, which is what I'm thinking is going to happen, he'll be there with Perrin fighting, or they have Aiel there for some other reason. But if they're seeing someone that's dual wielding that might be Perrin, that probably could be Gaul. That might be my guess. And that would be really cool. If they decide to bring Gaul in early with Perrin, it's great because he's like his little, like, he's like his, like, I don't know, like they're bros and Gaul's a bad dude. You heard that clip, man. He like took down like five guys. He didn't have a weapon. And then he's like, all right, I got to go, Perrin. I'll see you later.
we got a picture of someone playing Gaul a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Has he been cast?
Ooh, I don't think so.
I thought we did.
I had a picture of a curly-haired, red-headed guy, but I'm thinking it's going to be Gowan, Elaine, the Elaine Trakan's brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. And you know what? I was thinking about what you said. Maybe the first four are completely done, you know, basically in post, and maybe getting some few things inserted from later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But maybe they're going to kind of run to this and pass this and then start the journey to Tyr. And then the third season starts with them, you know, at the stone, basically.
Which would be where in the book?
End of the third book, basically.
Okay.
So I could see this being like episode 5, if there's going to be 8 again. And then they like, then after this, you know,
No. Like
that scene we're talking about where Rand and Min, like maybe takes place at the end of this episode or the beginning of the next one. And then 2 episodes heading to Tyr. Or maybe they discover traveling faster and they get there faster somehow, take a ship. I don't know, but they did a good job of just kind of like condensing storylines in the first season. So it'll be interesting. But man, I'm excited to see. This has got to be the only reason why I think that this might not be Falm is because of the Aiel. Because in Tyr, Aiel, Matt's breaking into the stone like by himself and then runs into this other guy who was under compulsion and like betrayed Nynaeve and Egwene. And they're like, they're trapped in the stone by the Black Aja. And Matt's like, well, I'm going to go fucking save him by myself. Because that's what he does. He's like, there's nobody else. And then he runs into the other guy who is something called a thief catcher. He kind of can like smell danger like this. There's another guy from Shinar that can do it. They have a different name for him there. They call him a sniffer. They call Julian Sandar a thief catcher. But it's basically the same idea. They can smell violence.
Sniffer.
Matt's breaking in and runs into that dude and he's like, well, I was gonna go save them too, so because I feel bad, and so we should join up. And so they're like, okay. And then all of a sudden they start looking around and there's like, they're like, the stone is like, seems like alive because there's Aiel just climbing all over it to try to figure out a way to break in. And so the only reason that I think this still could be the Stone of Tyr is because if there is more than one Aiel there, then it's not just Gaul, and they're either that or they, I don't see how they could take Kalendor out of Tyr.
Why are Gaul and the Aiel connected? Because Gaul is not an Aiel.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is.
He's an Aielman. He's the Aielman in the cage that Perrin lets out.
Oh, well, I just, for some reason, I always think Aiel are so special in their own way that they would never cross, they would never be, they would hang out with Wolf Brothers, but they would never be one.
It's not even that. It's like, they are, God, how would I explain
this?
Or
is Gaul not a wolf man? Is he just a badass?
He's not. He's just a bad dude. He's just a bad motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
But at a certain point, you know, Perrin's like, I need to enter the wolf dream completely, but I can't channel. Rand, can you like make a doorway to the world dream? Rand's like, you know, this isn't like good. You know, the wise ones would tell you not to do this. And he's like, yeah, well, I don't care, Rand. I got to watch your back, dude. And so he's like, okay. And Gaul's like, hey, you go, I go, bro. And so Gaul jumps in too. And Gaul starts to learn the world of dreams from Perrin. It's fucking dope. Gaul is cool, man. He's got this like dry sense of humor. And he's just like, you're a strange man, Perrin Ibarra. I'm trying to think of like a way to describe like Aiel and the rest of the like, you know, West in the world. I don't know. It's like, it's just like, you know, if like before like cell phone and technology and stuff, and like, all I heard is that you guys eat babies. You know, it's like the, you know, they just have these Aiel are savages and they just want to kill. And it's like, no, they're people. They have children and carpenters and blacksmiths. And they just happen to be exceptionally fierce because of where they live. And you find out why as the story goes along, because that was their journey, because they used to be anything but fierce.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, foreshadowing. They really dislike the traveling people.
God, the poor traveling.
The way of the leaf. They're like, if they see the traveling people, they're like, kts, kts, boo hiss, I'm out. They're disgusting.
They, yeah, I am dying to know more about them because I've learned, you know, in season one, they barely touch on them. And in book one, I'm getting to know them not super well, but I'm understanding them a little bit more. So I'm really excited for them to come back in the show. Because I just, without spoiling anything, like, are they two-faced fuckers or?
No, they're not.
What the?
They're really not.
So the Wheel of Time, the Wheel of Time.
Well, do you want me to tell you and you can fucking bleep it out? I could tell you so it makes a little more sense.
Well, let me just.
Because it's a long way in the book. Like, you will almost be like, oh, wait, what?
Well, because I know you've like, mentioned that they're not as, you know, they're not as afraid to fight as they pretend. But like,
well, no, the Tuatha'en will not fight. They will not fight.
Oh, they will not.
They'll stand there and just let, they will not fight.
Oh, I thought you said when someone punches them in the face, they punch
no,
back.
No, no,
oh.
No. One of the Aaron.
Get on with it.
In the breaking of the world, did all the, for lack of a better term, races just go to their corner of the world and just hide for 1,000 years? And then once they started to travel?
No.
Why is everyone have no fucking clue what other people are actually like? They think everybody is baby eating, sheep fucking, you know, they think Aes Sedais are just melting faces wherever they go. Like,
right. Well, it's like, okay, how do I do this without I'm just trying to think of how to answer your question without spoiling it, without spoiling too much. So basically the breaking of the world is the main thing that people know about Aes Sedai. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, they broke the world, or they'll mind control you, or they'll, you know, there's just whatever weird rumor that, you know, you can think of has been made up to vilify someone in the real world. They've, you know, probably been told it. And a lot of it stems from the breaking of the world, or, you know, that, well, they don't lie, but, you know, they don't tell you the truth that you think you hear and shit like that. It is just because during the breaking, that's why there's no races. Sorry. There's no races, really, because the world was ripped apart and it could be two blocks that were next to each other are now 2 miles apart or 200 miles apart. And so whatever pockets people found to survive in safety became nations.
Okay.
You know, cities and states and nations. And then it was dangerous because the world was still changing all around them. So if they found a pocket of safety, they stayed together. And then, you know, just stories start over thousands of years of isolation. Because someone told a story about a Trolloc one time, and then now you're so far in the future where they're at now, there are places in the world where people don't even believe in Trollocs.
Right.
You know, they're like they've become a myth, you know?
So I was a little right in that everyone just ran to their corner of the world and didn't travel for 1,000 years.
But it wasn't like a choice, like,
right,
all the people from here. It was just like, hey, we're here. We should try to live. And so, you know, I think that, and then, like, you know, just biases and, you know, it's like you said, people kind of tell their children lies to keep them safe. That's a big recurring theme. It's like, oh, you know, if you stay up too late, Ishmael will snatch your soul. Lanfear will come get you. And
rip
it's not
your
for a tickle
like
and
a
cuddle.
Paper towel.
Yeah. Ow. Why hurt me? So, yeah, dude, I'm super excited to see where all these things go. I mean, it's going to be crazy. Definitely, I think. It, unless they're trying to combine Falm and Tyr, that's got to be Falm, and I'm thinking that's Gaul. Unless they're, like I said, I don't think they can move Kalendor there and make that work. So I don't know.
Don't tell them what they can't do.
I would never. I'm a little. Oh, goo. God, look at those. They're pictures of the fucking Shanchan domain on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Because they definitely went to another level with, like, you know, they just had this.
So backpedaling a little bit, and this came up, you mentioned it again in passing, and it keeps coming up in passing. And does the horn call people to you, or does the horn itself cause damage?
It brings the dead heroes back. So,
oh, shit.
So it's actually pretty ironic because Matt blows the horn and.
And so if you, whoever blows the horn, they will obey.
Yep. Doesn't matter. If it's the shadow, doesn't matter.
Holy shit. Why would you walk? Why would you not blow that thing the second you got your hands on it?
That's the funniest thing, because it's like everyone who kind of gets their hands out. That's like Ingtar. We met him at the end of the first season. You know, he kind of, I want to blow the horn for glory, for salvation. And he's got his own reasons, you know, and it's like. Aglomar wants it. He's like, we'll defeat the shadow. And it's like, nope, nope. Everybody's like, it's meant to be blown by the dragon. Fucking. And yeah. Then, you know, this fucking mist comes out and all the dead heroes. And when you realize that, it's like, oh, shit. And it comes up really big in the end. It's pretty cool. You're like, what?
Oops. Oopsie poopsie.
You're like, I forgot about that big-eared little ugly fucking kid.
I'm trying to figure out how to bring this episode together. Like, we kind of watched some stuff and we said a lot of things.
I know. Let's just cut it, and then you can cut it up however you want as, like, news, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, quick, we can wrap it up this way. So, the What Up, things that are coming up, if you like listening to us, listeners, the What Up, we're going to definitely go through one of the recuts and I want to check out the, I don't know if it's done yet, but their season one coming together. We're going to do Winter Dragon. Cousin Jeremy's coming back for that one, so yes. We'll plan that one. He said he's in whenever we need him.
Awesome.
He's like, I'll come on whenever. I loved it.
Awesome.
So we can definitely get him on that, and we could probably even get him in on the other recuts. I'm sure he'd probably have some dumb opinion how it's not as good as the books or something.
Fuck yeah.
Just kidding, Jeremy. I love you, bro.
I'm not kidding. Come and tell us how dumb it is. We like the...
No, that's true. I like the contrary opinion, actually, because I like to debate him and tell him how wrong he is. Oh, sorry. What? I mean, healthy conversations are good.
Yeah. And it's and you know, and this show is. Yeah, exactly. It's a good, healthy conversation. And you know, I don't think he's wrong.
I think you'll be a really good Jeremy's devil's advocate type replacement for him, because I think you are going to be like, yeah, she should have covered her face until she was pooping the baby out.
Yeah.
And decided to trust Tam. Yeah, he was right. Because, you know what, like, it is right, but it's like, you know, like you said, movie magic perspective.
And we'll definitely, yeah, we'll get him back for those. And I want to slowly, I was thinking about it, because I'm like, I do want more Jeremy on this show, but what is my resistance? My resistance is I want to catch up just a little bit.
To be part of the conversation. Yeah, you get
exactly.
Lost. Yeah, I totally understand.
Because otherwise he comes on and then I just sit back and listen, which isn't terrible, but it'll be super awesome if I can actually...
Bad radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, Desmond sitting there with his mouth open. It's great TV.
I just have to insert my own...
We are Jack's expended mental capacity.
If you would like to send us some questions, comments, things you'd like to hear us talk about, things we missed, what have you been hearing on the grapevine? Hit us up at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And feel free to just ask us some personal questions. We'll tell you all about our lives. And you can find Fatty at Wolf Brothers at @ParchedEyeAilman on Twitter. That's Wolf Brothers at @ParchedEyeAilman. And if you want to check out some other podcasts, go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com, or wherever you find fine free podcasts. We got time travel. We got Time Pop talking about time travel movies. All the Answers, comedy and spirituality. Truth Not Trends, fitness and nutrition. And Be Brave with awesome women telling their awesome stories. May you always find water and shade.
Peace, favor your sword nerds. See you next week.
Yeah, you will. You will fucking see us next week. I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know. Have you heard of these things called podcasts?
I heard that they like get you sex.
Well, I'm not doing it right then.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And I'm like...